Hey, what's up, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Rewind, Replay, Record, the official new podcast for the Quibi Network. We did it, guys. We did it. We're now part of Quibi. I signed the paperwork today. I didn't want to...
Be right.
Nothing but the best. Just up and... Just, we're going up. Just, nothing. What's up?
I thought I heard that Quibi is, you know, well, no more.
But yeah, no more not having podcasts, because it's got us. I signed the paperwork and everything. Katzenberg threw some keys at me and said, 1, 2, 3, not it, and ran away. I think it's going to be great. But anyway.
This is the year that keeps on giving.
Hell yeah, 2020. Thanks. Anyway, yes, it's a brand new episode of Rewind, Replay, Record. We are coming at you, our third episode in a row. Oh my goodness. Is this going to continue happening? Hopefully. Probably not. I don't know. We'll see. We last two episodes, we've been doing some horror watching and remakes. And before I forget, because I just realized I did. Hey, who's joining me today? Who told me about the Quibi demise?
Oh, this is Edwin.
Hey, Edwin, what's up? And who else is here?
Ava.
Yay, it's Ava. She's back, everybody. Yay. I know that sounds disingenuous, but I just found out about Quibi, so I'm in a weird place. Anyway, yeah, so this is our third episode in a row. We're talking about horror movies and their remakes. Should they be happening? Should they not? Are they fun? Are they not? Whatever. It's the spooky season. We're 2 weeks away from Halloween. Hopefully you guys are going to stay safe out there and have your trick-or-treat planning. Probably, hopefully not trick-or-treat, but you know what? You guys do you. But just, yeah, I don't know. Watch these horror movies and watch the remakes and such, and they should be fun. The last couple weeks, we did Adventures of Ichabod Crane, Sleepy Hollow. Last week, we did The Blob. And this week, we're going for another classic here. It is Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 Psycho.
Good afternoon. Here we have a quiet little motel. Tucked away off the main highway, and as you see, perfectly harmless looking, when in fact, it has now become known as the scene of the crime. This motel also has, as an adjunct, an old house, which is, if I may say so, a little more sinister looking, less innocent than the motel itself. And in this house, the most dire, horrible events took place. I think we can go inside because the place is up for sale, although I don't know who's going to buy it now. In that window on the second floor, the single one in front, that's where the woman was first seen. Let's go inside. You see, even in daylight, this place still looks a bit sinister. Now, it was at the top of these stairs that the second murder took place. She came out of the door there and met the victim at the top. Of course, in a flash, there was the knife, and in no time, the victim tumbled and fell with a horrible crash. I think the back broke immediately and hit the floor. It's difficult to describe the way the twisting of I won't dwell upon it. Come upstairs. Of course, the victim, or should I say victims, hadn't any conception as to the type of people they would be confronted with in this house, especially the woman. She was the weirdest and the most... Well, let's go into her bedroom.
Hello?
Here's the woman's room, still beautifully preserved. And the imprint of her figure on the bed where she used to lay. I think some of her clothes are still in this wardrobe. Was the son's room, but we won't go in there because his favorite spot was the little parlor behind his office in the motel. Let's go down there. This young man, you had to feel sorry for him. After all, being dominated by an almost maniacal woman was enough to drive anyone to the extreme of, well, let's go in. Well, I suppose you'd call this his hideaway. His hobby, as you see, was taxidermy. Crow here, an owl there. Now, an important scene took place in this room. There was a private supper here. And, oh, by the way, this picture has great significance because let's go along to cabin number one. I want to show you something there. All tidied up. The bathroom. Well, they've cleaned all this up now. Big difference. You should have seen the blood. The whole place was, well, it's too horrible to describe. Dreadful. And I'll tell you, there's a very important clue was found here. Down there. Well, the murderer, you see, crept in here very slowly. Of course, the shower was on, there was no sound. And,
considered one of the first slasher flicks, even though there is one movie that premiered a couple weeks beforehand, but everybody said no. So everyone went, that's not the first one. But Psycho is considered the first slasher movie. Broke box office records, catapulted to Alfred Hitchcock into a household name along with his TV show and such. A lot of firsts. It's one of my top 10 movies of all time. Edwin. Ava, wow. What do you think of 1960s Psycho?
Just like you, it's one of my top movies of all time. The score is definitely my favorite score to listen to around this time of year. Like, I wish it would pop up on more Halloween playlists, but it never does because they always pick songs with actual lyrics. But this, to me, when I hear that song in the beginning credits, I'm like, it's Halloween.
it's that, and it's so good. It sticks with you, and it gets you on that edge already. That dun-da-dun, dun-da-dun, dun. It keeps you on the edge, and it just, the violins and everything, it just, it's, I think, one of the best, like, themes to a movie ever, just because it fits so well, and it sticks in your head, and it stays there.
Absolutely agree, yeah. It's a great movie. It never gets old. I never get sick of it. It is truly a classic for me.
Yep, it is. And Edwin, what do you think?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Besides the theme of Psycho, what other themes do you guys like besides this one within horror?
Halloween. John Carpenter's Halloween jumps to mind. That's very another good one. That's a classic.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Can I ask for one more?
Let's see. I mean, we got a couple weeks ago the Headless Horseman song. I immediately think of that. And horror movies per se, though, other than that, I mean, you got the Will Smith's Freddy Krueger song, rap song.
You know, it's funny.
I just made Edwin listen to that earlier today.
Just listened to that today, and
just
we
say
put on Nightmare on Elm Street. I was gonna say Nightmare on Elm Street, I think, is a theme.
Yeah.
That's very familiar around this time. That's very memorable.
That's a great one too. Yeah.
And it's funny that you say the Fresh Prince one.
I was gonna say Beetlejuice, even though it's not like a super Halloween one, but something about the music.
No, I would consider that a Halloween.
No, definitely.
Beetlejuice, I think, was great. Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman is great, which we'll be talking about later because he did the score for the remake. For me, no, I like Psycho. I didn't grow up watching it, but when I watched it a few years back, I thought it was great. Love the cinematography, love the score, as you guys already mentioned.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it is like interesting how it's one of the first movies that you see a character, you're along with the character, has that trope.
Yeah.
Of you're following this character and then the character gets killed off. I didn't know it. For me, I think Scream and From Dusk Till Dawn were like those movies that had this similar storyline from the beginning, not knowing like, oh, they're kind of taking this from Psycho, which I think takes away from, books as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, no, I really, it's a very easy watch. Psycho.
It really is. It's one of those, I think also kind of started the trend of, hey, what's up with these serial killers? And especially women absolutely loving the true crime stories, because this is loosely based off the murderer Ed Gein. And everything too. The book was based, was inspired by this and everything. Basically, the plot of it follows Marion Crane, played by Vivien Leigh, who decides to steal $40,000 from an employer to give to her lover who is in debt. Why she would do this and think she could get away with it? Well, she finds out halfway through that probably won't happen. On the run, stops off at the Bates Motel, meets Norman Bates, and the movie takes a turn at that point and turns into a whole different set of movie. Like you said, like when you first watch this, it looks like your typical Alfred Hitchcock movie where it's like, oh, laundering money and trying to help a boyfriend out and everything, and then it turns into, oh yeah, no, you were here, now you are the focal point of the movie still, as how are they going to find out where Marion is, because after Norman Bates, spoiler, kills her, well actually sorry, Norman's mother, that's a bigger spoiler, kills her, it then turns into a, hey, what happened to Marion? And then people just try to find out and everything. I think this whole movie, 1960, it's shot in black and white to stay on the cheap end and everything too, because at that time, color movies were still huge, were the big new thing and everything. So for Alfred Hitchcock to come in and go, hey, we're going to do this my way and everything. I don't know. I can't say enough great things about this movie. It's just so, the acting is on point, the cinematography, the look of everything. It's just so good. So good.
Do you think he also kind of had to do black and white to hide the red blood, maybe he thought, like, oh, it'd be less, you know.
Exactly. For sure.
I'm sure that's, yeah, I think that's part of it, too. If I remember, I think the Hitchcock movie with Anthony Hopkins kind of talks about how no studio wanted to do this movie.
Yeah.
So he actually kind of funded this movie on his own. I think it was all or nothing. Like, he really wanted to do it. I think his wife kind of pushed him into doing it. Like, hey, you really, you know, go for it, whatever it takes. And I think for budgetary reasons, which kind of shows he does so much for so little. Because remember, he just came off doing what? North by Northwest. He already did Vertigo. He already did Rear Window.
He already did movies that were considered like
he was already classics. Even before those movies, he already made classics. Like, Psycho is like his one of his last movies of his career, and is completely different. Like, there's still, you know, we're still following, you know, characters that are kind of shady, like a lot of his movies. But for me, in this one, which we'll talk about, when is it Marion? Talks to Norman, and Norman gives her the speech about how we're all trapped. Everybody's trapped in their own little world. You see her realizing, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go back to Phoenix. I'm going to return the money. I don't want to do this anymore. And yet, boom, she gets killed, which kind of makes it more, you know, more horrific to watch when she actually does get killed.
Yeah. Well, no, because like she's in the shower. That's kind of a like a cleansing of the soul. And then it's interrupted by murder. Like, she's on the right path. She can do it. And then here comes Norman's mother. Wink, wink, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And ends that. And that is very, I think, Ava, you hit it on the nail on the head. There's a lot of firsts in this movie. There's a lot of, you didn't typically see this type of violence. I mean, you look at it now and it's like, oh, this is kind of quaint. But to see that for audiences, like, that was shocking to see somebody get stabbed multiple times. Like, holy shit, what's happening? And we just had to sit through seeing a toilet flush for the first time in movie or TV history. Like, and now you're making us watch this murder? Oh, my goodness.
Even that shot was controversial. I think he had a fight.
Super controversial.
Like, well, no one's going to the bathroom. It was like, we're just throwing a piece of paper. Like, you know, shredded some paper, and that's how they got away with it.
I like the irony, too, right after that scene, you know, that when you see her lover writing the letter, like, yeah, let's be together after all. Like you're saying, she has that moment of realization, like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. She even says to Norman, I have a long drive home. She finally is deciding to go back. She does the math of how to give back the money, and then... Yeah. You know, she dies, and then the next scene you see the lover writing the letter, like, yeah, you're right, we should get married to be together. You're like, oh man, the irony is just so good.
And even backtracking, like, what was she going to do going back? Was she going to go back to the dealership and say, hey, I'm going to return the money?
That's not important.
Like, I'm going to return the car, give you my money back. You know, like, what? You knew she was going to accept the consequences. Like, what? Not to say that she
should have. I have no idea. I think it was just one of those. It's one of those things, because you know how, like, in the middle of the night, you can't sleep and you're just like, man, you know what? Tomorrow, it's going to be a whole new day. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go for that run. I'm going to have that hearty oatmeal breakfast. And then you wake up and it's 2:00 in the afternoon and you go, well, you know, there's always tomorrow.
I just find it interesting that she learned that from Norman. Norman made her realize that I want to do good, that I don't have it that bad. And yet she gets killed by this man.
Well, yeah, because, you know, here's a guy that, you know, all he knows is birds and getting yelled at his mom. She's like, I don't want this.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that I found that creepy when he talked about, yeah, I'm a taxidermist, but I only do birds, only birds.
Yeah.
Because dogs, cats, you know, everything is weird. Birds are okay. And cheap. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, taxidermy is cheap. You just,
red flag.
Well, that's also kind of a genius casting with, and we'll get into this later, with Norman itself. Because here's Anthony Perkins, who's just looks like this regular handsome dude. He's a little off, but he's not the kind of off that immediately sets you off. He's going to kill me. I don't, you know, when it's, when, you know, obviously, you know, watch the movie and stuff, you immediately start thinking even more, but,
Did you find him creepy? Actually, Ava, did you find him creepy?
Oh yeah.
Well, when he
Anthony
started,
Perkins, yeah.
When he started, after his speech, when he started talking, in the, after he started talking, but when you first meet him, you're just like, oh, this is some regular guy. Okay. Cause I don't, and I'll talk about that in just more, I'll delve that in a more on the, when we talk about the remake. Spoilers, but Edwin, you brought up a really good, interesting point about how like Hitchcock had to go on the cheap and everything. He actually used his TV crew to make this movie. These guys That's weren't right. movie makers. He used his crew from Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which at that point was on NBC, a weekly murder mystery show or mystery show that Alfred Hitchcock did. So he did. That makes even things more surprising because this. It does give you TV vibes, but at the same time, it's like there's some shots in here that are iconic and are just like, you know, especially with the, you know, when the the detective goes starts going up the steps and then it shoots from the ceiling and then it runs out of the bedroom and stabs him in the face and everything. There's a lot of great camera work with this, especially, you know, lining up with Norman sitting there talking to when his speech and you have this giant fucking owl in the corner screen taking up half the screen and stuff. It's all stretched out and everything.
I wonder if that was supposed to be there to make you feel uneasy. I think so.
Yeah, like, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
As soon as she walks into the room and looks around and sees all of that, I think it immediately makes her feel uneasy and it makes you feel uneasy.
Like the shots that, you know, the way you see Norman's profile and you see the owl like in the distance as if it's about to attack. I mean, I always like wonder, did he already have Birds planned? Because Birds was the next movie he made after this.
No.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really, going back to Norman Anthony Perkins, like for me, I didn't find him creepy at all until the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does come off weird. Like, yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Comes off as weird, but he's not the kind of guy that when you look at, you go, oh, I got to be careful for this guy. It's just more like, he's just eccentric. He lives by himself with his mother. He's a little eccentric.
He's a little nerdy. There's like something a little this. Mama's boy. But I didn't find him threatening at all. And I think that works for this movie. Like, he is not, you know.
I think the only time I found him maybe a little creepy is when the detective comes and speaks to him. He's acting very shifty and shady and stutters a lot. There you kind of see more of his true personality, I feel. And
you find him not creepy,
but he definitely was acting more strange,
right?
You know, very, very suspicious. I would say even a shady character at that point.
Right, exactly. And I mean, setting that up, and it's that whole thing of like, all right, guess I'm gonna have to kill this guy and dump him in the river with his car and everything. But I think that also kind of, it does the Columbo thing of it shows you, and it, for those of you who don't know who Columbo is, Columbo was a Peter Fox a TV show detective where basically it was like hour and a half movie episodes essentially. And the first 45 minutes was watching the crime happen, where you saw the person set up the crime, commit it, do it, and then the rest of the episode was Peter Falk as Columbo trying to figure out how to get to that point. So the whole show was just watching how this detective would find out how to connect these dots and everything. And this movie's kind of similar set up, where it shows you, hey, here's the murder, here's Norman Bates, he does his thing, and then it adds characters coming in to try to figure out, okay, where is Marion, who is, you know, where is she, that type of thing. And essentially at that point, it's like, okay, how does Norman get caught, essentially? Just recently, Knives Out kind of did that a little.
Which I've been wanting to see, still haven't seen it.
On Prime for free, just watch it.
I've been trying. I'm going to give you an excuse. I blame Ava.
Oh, JK.
No problem.
Okay. Ava, watch it. There.
Yes, thanks. Sir.
You'll like thanks, it. You'll actually Peter. Like. You'll actually like it. It is one of the. It's a good double feature with Parasite. Let's put it that way. Which is surprising. Which at first sight you're like, how does that work? But it works. But yeah, so the rest of the movie is just trying to find out, like, how does Norman, you know, become that? And I think this also, again, sets, I think this starts that trend with everyone's obsession with the serial killer. 8 years later, you have Charlie Manson that, you know, just goes even more further forward with that and everything. And then you got, I think the last, you know, several years has been kind of pro with all these podcasts popping up about murder mysteries and real life crimes. There's that podcast, My Favorite Murder, True ID or whatever, the ID Network, where it just is nothing but murder mystery shows and real life crime sagas and stuff. I think this movie played a really big role in that, for that.
I love, too, how the movie, every time I watch this movie, I can feel the feeling of it being the first time watching it. And they do such a great job of making you think so many things. Like every time I watch it, your focus goes to the money at some point as well. Like,
right. Yeah.
I love immediately after, you know, he kills her or she dies and slinks out the shower, they zoom in on the newspaper full of money.
Like, yeah.
Because that's always my thought in my head. Like,
what about the money?
Imagining it if I'm watching it for the first time, like, oh my God, what about all that money?
And that's
another added element on top of this whole crazy murder mystery that is so good about this movie. It's like you think about the money a lot.
But then in the end, it means nothing.
No, exactly. I mean, and that's Hitchcock. Yeah, Hitchcock is playing you at this point where he's just like, oh, you thought it was about this. In actuality, it's about this. And then at the end, when they're like, well, what about the money? Oh, it's at the ocean. It's in the lake.
Yeah.
It's just an afterthought because now it's like, yeah, who gives a shit about the money? What's up with this guy?
And I think that's why you have the scene where Norman's cleaning up the body.
Yeah.
Is when the audience is thinking, wait, I just lost my lead character that I'm following. Now I'm following this guy. And it's a long, stretched out scene of him going back to the house, getting the mop, you know, grabbing her, getting all the little pieces, you know, for a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to think about 1960s eyes. Like, normally you wouldn't see this type of violence. And after seeing something like that, where, you know, there were close-ups of, you know, knife shots hitting the body and stuff, even though it isn't, but it's like, that's shocking. And to then make you sit there and kind of sit in it, watch you clean up the whole scene and everything. It's kind of one, it makes you kind of like, it's a good palate cleanser where it just makes you sit there and think like, what the fuck am I watching? And again, audiences weren't ready for that. They, you know, they had some people screaming and running out of the theater when they saw that.
Well, when you watch that Hitchcock movie
with
Anthony Hopkins, they do a really cool scene where it's opening night and Hitchcock is watching, you know, in the back, peeking through the door, waiting for waiting for the shower scene. And as the shower scene happened, he doesn't look. He's just orchestrating, like he's moving his hand. Now this, okay, cue the scream. Like you see him kind of just like, okay, he's anticipating every scream
and then the from music, each the
with
music.
With the music. Yeah. Here it goes. There again. Scream again. Which is beautiful. I mean,
it's so amazing to think how he shot that scene. How many different camera angles.
Yeah, like what, 50, what is it, 76?
It was I forgot the documentary. There's a documentary about it just for that called, I got it, 7652?
Yep, that's it.
That's amazing.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Psycho, the Hitchcock and this documentary are good companions.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's, I just want to make sure, because I just said that off the top of my head. It doesn't matter. Look it up. Wikipedia, it's somewhere here. 7852. Yeah. 7852. Mm-hmm. Hitchcock shower scene, a documentary. Was released in 2017. Again, this movie is and this is also a movie where Hitchcock said, you want to play this in your theater, you have to watch it from the very beginning. Once the movie starts, you're not allowed in. So if you're late, no entry, even though you have a ticket. You know, and it's one of those.
He treats it like a play, and I kind of like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think that's what's missing in movies now. I mean, well, movies are not playing really that much, but I think we should, you know, they should go back to the basics of that. Treat it like you're going to a play.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, exactly. That is one of those things that, it is one of those things that, it was treated as a night out. Like, it's an event. You have to make this event movie and everything. And it, you know, helps that you have, you know, the number one box office draw, Vivien Leigh here, packing in the crowd. And that was another thing. You see her in her bra half the time. And it's like, oh, my goodness, what?
Yeah, like the first shot in the movie is her in her bra. Like, how risky was that in that time?
Yeah. They also, I like it how before she steals the money, you see her in the white bra. And then when she decides to take the money, she's in the black bra.
Yeah.
Oh, you noticed that?
I did notice that. Well, they also mentioned it in the documentary, so...
I just saw tits. Anyway.
Brian, you overall liked it.
I'm a big fan. This is one of my favorite movies. Again, like Ava said, this is a movie that you could sit down. I still am on edge, and I think a lot of it, like this sense of dread through it and everything. The acting, I think, is off. Just everyone is, you know, hitting home runs out of the park with this. It's a classic for a reason. It's on AFI's top 100 films of all time, rightfully so. It is a movie that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy, which I think begs the question, well, if you like it so much, if somebody takes it and redoes it, it has to be good, right? Yeah. Well, Gus Van Sant had that question and had that desire, and he said, hey, let's try it with 1998's Psycho.
His best friend is his mother. She just goes a little mad sometimes.
Mother! Oh God! Mother!
And Vince Vaughn came in back into comes into the role of Norman Bates, Anne Heche as Marion Crane. I don't know. This is a movie that was, I remember being heavily hyped for whatever reason. I think it was a big thing they were saying. This is an experimental movie, you know, because can you take a classic movie, do shot for shot remake, or shot for shot, and does it still hold up? Does it still work?
And, right.
For but you, what do you guys, go ahead.
I mean, I remember this being hated.
It was. A lot of people were going, why are you doing this?
Okay. And that's fair.
Yeah,
I take it you did not like this at all, B-Ray.
It's not that it's one of those things where it's just like, why watch this? Why watch when you could watch the classic? My feeling on remakes is a remake should be made under two conditions. One, if you can make the original that you're doing even better, or add to it in a way that you haven't seen. Or take it whatever movie, like a movie that's kind of like, this is really dumb, but it has a good idea, and try to remake it to where you can take that idea and make it better. If you have a movie that's nearly perfect, in my eyes at least, like Psycho, what do you do to add it? And from my gathering watching this, the things that they add is like, hey, here's a butt. This isn't your bomb, Psycho. Here's Viggo Mortensen's butt. Watch Norman Bates jerk it. You know, it just, it overly explains. It's the Jared Leto of acting as the Joker, where instead of just, instead of acting, he has to like tell you exactly what he's doing to make him crazy. Oh, wow. That guy's really damaged. How do you know? Because he tattooed damage across his forehead. So, like, yeah, I mean, that's just, that's the tones that were in the original Psycho with Alfred Hitchcock puts out there, you understand, you get that sense. Here, Gus Van Sant's just like, oh, just to be sure. Yeah, Norman Bates was jerking off.
I guess I looked at it as, you know, maybe he was, I liked how he was trying to do the same formula, like shooting it with the same time frame.
Yeah.
And he tried to do shot for shot. I guess when, you know, I saw the scene with the jacking off, I thought, okay, he's trying to do what Hitchcock couldn't have put in the movie.
Right.
And I'm glad he didn't do too much of it. Like, it would have been too much if he would have done more than that scene.
I did
try to take notice of what he took out and what he put in, and like just very minimal of what he took out. Like, I think the line at the end I noticed he took out was like the detective,
the transvestite,
the psychologist. Yeah. He didn't say that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's probably not relevant of the time. I like how they changed the numbers of the money, obviously, the amounts of money.
Yeah.
You know, he
did the right things of adjusting it for its time. And that I can appreciate. And that's not something where I'm like, whatever. But it's more the themes and stuff. And it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, of course, it's now going to be $400,000 instead of $40,000.
Right.
Marion's sister comes in listening to Rob Zombie to show that she can't be fucked with. It is one of those things. And I think also what really kind of, actually, before I get into that, Edwin, what did you think?
I mean, clearly, I like the original, clearly. I like the original better, clearly. But there is something to be said about this movie that, even though it was made shot for shot and the little touches that he made, to me, it did feel different for a movie that copied it shot by shot. Mm-hmm. Like, the little subtleties. Like, for me, I noticed, I understood. First of all, it was very fast-paced. Like, yeah. They really kind of, like, I think I already said, they cut the fat. It was, you know, they got rid of, you know, all of that. Even characters' motivations were a little bit more clear. Anne Heche being kind of, like, you know, irritated or, you know, with the guy with all the money.
Yeah.
That he steals from. And with Norman. Just a few little looks seem different than the original, or while the original kind of dragged and you know what they're kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you one look said it all and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not, yeah, there's an argument can be said what is better, but because we watched the original, watching this one, I appreciated, like, okay, it's not dragging. Really went pretty fast.
Yeah, like, it didn't feel like he was trying to make it better.
No.
He was trying to do an homage the best way he could.
I don't think for the audience. I don't think this movie, and it should be for the audience. I mean, clearly, you make a movie for the audience to make money.
Like, it wasn't for true diehard fans of this movie. I think it was...
An homage to
Hitchcock.
That's how I felt Hitchcock. Like, too. This movie wasn't for us.
It was for Gus Van Sant. It was honestly, I think it's for Gus Van Sant. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing or anything. Like, if he can do it, you fucking do it. If you get that, if you get the keys to the kingdom to make the movie you want to make, go ahead and run with it. I think this is a like he said, and they led up to it too. They were very, he was very straightforward saying this is an experiment. I want to see if I can do this.
And I also think, didn't he also say he wanted to do it so nobody else could? And guess what? He succeeded, because nobody else going to touch it until now, where we live in the world without, now there's a TV show, like 10, 15 years later, they made a TV show out of it.
Yeah, Bates Motel. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just, it, to me, I think also, for me, I think I would have picked better actors for Norman and Mary.
I agree.
I think Vince Vaughn is a little too on the nose. He doesn't, again, it's Vince Vaughn. If you look at Vince Vaughn, you know, I'm not going to trust this guy. Like, I need to watch myself with him, kind of thing. And Anne Heche,
but
just
wouldn't you, but don't you think that at the time when they picked Anthony Perkins, they thought the same thing? Why would you pick him as a serial killer? The audience wouldn't, you know, I'm sure at the time they didn't want him.
Saying,
like, I'm
saying that
it.
I, if I
just
look
like
at
Vince
Vaughn,
I
would buy Vince Vaughn as a murderer. That's what I'm saying, is that he, to me, the way he's too acting, the way he's acting, it's too on the nose. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, something's up with this guy. Whereas Anthony Perkins comes in and he looks like the boy next door. He's this guy that's just kind of like, yeah, he's a little weird, but he's not like, it's not threatening. Whereas Vince Vaughn, when you look at Vince Vaughn, you go, okay, something's up. Like, this guy, let's watch. He's a little too on the nose, and it's also looking like Vince Vaughn. I'm not going to trust this guy. And I think he was a little too jerk. And it is one of those things where it's like, I'm not sitting here saying, like, he should actually try to do a shot-for-shot, you know, remake on that character or something. He added to it. He added to what he wanted to it. It was just a little too on the nose for my taste.
Would you have picked Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah, of course. No, Matthew Lillard, sir. How dare you?
Matthew Lillard.
I'm going to say this. I think Matthew Lillard's actually is actually a pretty good actor. He's just shitty roles, and people need to – he needs a good director to hold him in. I think he's a pretty decent actor. SLC Punk.
I mean, going back to
– And Shaggy. I mean, come on.
Stu, Scream. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I would say, I think out of all the recast, William H. Macy, I think, is the one.
The best.
I didn't like him in this one.
Really? You didn't
compared
like
to,
him?
If I have to compare it to the original, I liked the original better. I didn't, but I think the original actor, the original cop or private detective, was more assertive, you know, got his man. William H. Macy didn't come off that way. And maybe this is me bringing on baggage from Fargo, but I just didn't buy him getting the answers he needed compared to the guy from the original.
Well, see, I think the way
he would be the only one.
More, I think he would be the way he approached it was just more of a friendly, like, hey, I'm not, you know, whereas the other guy, he seems a little bit more intimidating, a little bit more here.
And I think
William
I like
H. Macy
that.
Is playing it more little like, you know, hey, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Julianne Moore was
I
more
prefer,
assertive.
I, well, yeah, I mean, that was the whole point of that. But I mean, I'm not saying that I think William H. Macy is better than the other guy. I do prefer the other guy. But I think out of everybody, I think William H. Macy was the better of the choice in acting. I mean, Viggo Mortensen also was good in it. And, you know, Julianne Moore had her bits. But again, and Heche, you know, for me personally, it was more just, I'm going to try to do an impersonation here of trying to act.
I didn't get that at all. I did not get that at all. I really think she kind of did subtly she did things a little bit different. I'm not saying she's better. I'm just saying she brought something. No, I'm saying that she just brought something a little bit new.
No, I know.
Everybody was okay. I think for me, like, which we disagree, it's Macy that I didn't really like.
Ava, what did you think? Who do you agree with?
Yeah, pick a side. Let's settle this right now because Brunt, sorry.
I mean, I looked at it as it was interesting, like basically what he said. It was an experiment, and I guess I viewed it in that way. I definitely wasn't looking at it as, is one better than the other? I just tried to look at it like, okay, well, what was he trying to do here? Why did he do this particular shot? You know, just little things that I noticed that he changed, like, huh, why did he choose to have the camera there instead of there? And then, or for example, the kick in the face at the end where she see Julianne Moore's character sees the...
There's more of a struggle with Norman, yeah.
Like, it's interesting that, you know, they showed Julianne Moore kick her, kick him in the face. Was that, to, I was trying to think, like, was that because, to show...
Because I'm sure the audience at the time, from the original, like, the original, do something, don't just sit there. Exactly. Now we are in a modern time that I think the female would, or somebody will step in to help.
And that's kind of what...
It's her sister.
Yes. Exactly.
She's the one that was more aggressive in this one. It made sense.
It was interesting. Like, it's not better or worse. I know I'm not the biggest fan of Vince Vaughn, but at the same time, I don't think he did, like, super god-awful terrible. I think at the time when this came out, I absolutely hated him, and right. I would have probably hated this movie more. Like, seeing movies that he was in at that time and kind of having him typecasted in my head. But... seeing it now, he didn't 100% bother me, but no, he's not, like, the best Norman Bates. You know, obviously, Anthony Perkins does it much better, but it wasn't terrible.
I was sitting there kind of going, like, who would you pick them to?
That's
who would you...
tough.
That's, like, the thing, because, like, I immediately thought, like, okay, who's hot around this time period? And I'm thinking, okay, I would have picked Charlize Theron for Marion. And
she wasn't that hot then.
Well, she no, but she's like, gorgeous, sir.
But what I'm saying, that was
my point, was that, like, around this time period, up and coming, like, she was around up and coming. She was in movies. She wasn't, like, well, no, she was always known as, oh, that's the hot chick. She hasn't had her hit yet. But, and that's the thing I was sitting here, like, what Ava was saying, was that it's hard to think, like, who would you cast with this? Because even Vince Vaughn wasn't really all that hot either right then. The only movie he was really big in was, I want to say Swingers.
Didn't he do Swingers and Lost World at this point? Because Lost World came out in 96, 97, then this came out in 98.
Right, but
I
don't immediately think of...
If you're in a Spielberg movie, I'm sure you're...
Right. Well, he's the hot new thing. Him and Jon Favreau are the hot new thing because of Swingers. But I'm just saying that, like, Charlize Theron was coming up in that time period, too. But let me see real quick. Where was Vince Vaughn in this trajectory?
While you're searching, I kind of want to bring out – I'm going to ask this question. Because this is a Psycho remake, do you think you guys were more critical watching the remake? Like, looking – meaning – Were you expecting for it to fail because the movie that is based on, that was successful, that's considered a masterpiece?
Did you subconsciously be more critical?
Yeah, meaning you're, like, very nitpicking compared to, I don't know, another movie that kind of gets a pass. Like, when you watch the original Psycho, because the reputation, oh, it's a masterpiece. Oh, it's good, because everybody says it's good. And when this movie was made, I remember at the time, people, yes, they were saying, why would they remake this? What would be the purpose of remaking this? And I'll ask both of you, did the remake need to be made? Did it bring anything new?
No. I will say first off, I found the answer. He was in Swingers in 96, and then he was in Lost World in 97, and then he was in nothing until this one, Psycho in 98. And that's when he started going up with, like, The Cell and Maid, Zoolander. His big role would have been in Old School, is when he started becoming the Vince Vaughn everybody knows and loves now. But to answer your question, I would suggest, actually, Ava, why don't you... first, before I talk, what do you think?
Before he rambles on.
Yeah. Because I'm going to go down a hole, but go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think it did bring a little something new and different. I forgot your other question. You said, did it bring something new? Did it?
Yeah, did it need to be remade?
Oh, well, that is a whole nother question. question. That can we can say for all the remakes we've been
exactly.
talking about.
Exactly.
Did it ever need to be remade? The point is, it did. And kind of like you said as well, I think Gus Van Sant said, I did it so no one else could do it. So maybe, no, it didn't need to be remade, but he was probably thinking, I don't want anybody else to really, really fuck this up.
If Universal's giving me this, who else are they going to give it to? It's one of those things where I'm gonna fall on the sword, so nobody could come in and make him like a rapper or something. I mean,
he just came off of Good Will Hunting. He could have made anything he wanted.
Yeah, and he chose to do this.
For me, there was a reason why he did it, and yeah, he said it was an experiment.
I think that's why.
I agree that's why, because that's not who he is.
He's a director. Audience. Yeah, he's a director that doesn't do audience movies. He doesn't. Movies for the way reasons why he wants to. He's an experimental thing. Right. I mean,
so based
we all know
that,
Elephant. We all know Elephant.
Right. And you know my feelings on Elephant.
Elephant.
Quite a bit. I love it. It's not for the masses, but it is doing something different.
Yeah.
What? Oh. Oh. Am I pulling the microphone?
Yes.
Oh.
Someone's getting so really into it. Jesus.
Getting passionate with his hands over here.
Am I talking with my hands? I didn't realize.
You slapped it 13 times, sir. I heard it, and
I can't prove anything. No, I mean, I think in the end, I'm really glad that I watched this many years later, because I think if I would have watched it then, I would have criticized it like you are, B-Rai, and jumping on the bandwagon and hating it like everybody else is hating it. I'm actually giving it a chance, and for me, I don't think it's that bad. I'm not going to say that it's the best movie ever.
But I'm not saying it's horrible either. I'm just saying as a remake.
He never used the word hate.
As a movie, it's something that it's one of those things where, it's going to – you can't separate it. You can't separate going it from the original. It's always going to have that on it. And I think that's
right.
I think
Gus Van Sant knew that.
Right, and he knew. Time. No, he knows, and he still knows. He says, "Yeah, I think it's made its money back." And he even said he wants to go back and try it again. which, hey, you know what? More power to you. But
I bet you anything, it'll still feel different.
So here's because, the thing. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. Continue. Finish your thought.
Well, now I lost my train of thought.
That's a lie. But since you did, what I'm going to say is when you're asking the question, should it be a remake? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? This isn't the first time that question had been raised with Psycho, because right after Alfred Hitchcock died, Universal was like, thank God he's dead. We can start making a sequel to this movie, to Psycho. Mm-hmm. And they did it. And they actually didn't. Everyone was just like, why? How would you make a fucking sequel to this? Why would you even do this? And guess what? It's actually a pretty decent movie.
I absolutely agree.
It's actually a really good slasher movie. Yes, it is
It really is.
It doesn't tarnish the legacy of the old one or anything. It adds to it, and it's
good.
It's its own thing too.
And it's I agree.
So I think with that question already there, where people were already asking of this movie of. Well, should it get remade? Well, I mean, the sequel got the part two was actually pretty decent. I didn't see 3 or 4, but I heard those are all right too for whatever they are. But so there is that chance of like, this could have been good. And I'm not saying again it's not good. It's just it's something where I am looking at it as an experiment. Does it succeed? Does it not? To me, it doesn't succeed. It's one of those things. I will say MVP, Robert Forster. Robert Foster, MVP, always on screen, boom, and it's like, yeah, all right, give him the award.
How did you feel about the end shot where they're taking out the car?
That was an interesting thing. Yeah, that was an interesting shot because in the original, it just you see the car come up from the lake and it says the end, and here it lingers to where we found the car, let's go, and then just everybody leaves the scene. And then
you're just looking at the swamp.
But even after the credits are over, it's still holding the shot.
It was
no
creepy.
Music.
And for
no
me,
yeah.
I felt creeped out.
That was good. I liked that.
Now, my question to you is, did you feel creeped out in the ending of the original Psycho, or did you feel creepy at the ending of this remake?
I felt a coldness. I felt a... No, what I felt... because in the original it still is, and I think it also works because of the black and white imagery. It is a little overkill, which I will say I like how he didn't full on put like a skull in front of Vince Vaughn's face. It was more of a, you had to kind of like, wait, what is that vibe to it? I think because of the ending of the original, it does creep you out a little because he is looking at the screen, he smiles, and it's that just weird smile. It does creep me out. Here, I was left more like, oh, it's just life goes on. And it's not that it's creepy. It's just, it's more life goes on. It doesn't really matter. Nothing really matters. And that could be my psyche at the moment.
Oh, no. But, and I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. But I think it's just more kind of like, oh, all right, well.
I can totally see that. Yeah. I felt creeped out because I am left with, now watching this movie, and with all the baggage that came with it, knowing that this is a remake of a masterpiece, why did they remake this? Why is Vince Vaughn in this movie? Why is William H. Macy not as good as the original cop? The very end, for me, as the movie goes on, I'm like, okay, now I feel really unsettling. Now I feel kind of gross and weird. Based on what I just watched of a movie that I already knew what of the story was. Yeah. That the original did not make me feel that way at all. Maybe because I knew it, and that's unfair. Like, I still was like, oh, wow. I just thought it was cool in the original where you kind of see the skull and the car pulls up. But this remake made me feel unsettled mm-hmm. when it was over. And there has something to be said for me. That is an accomplishment because the original didn't do that. So it was a good remake. Because I'm sure back in the 60s, people laughed, really creeped out. Us as an audience now, many years later, didn't. Right. But this remake, somehow, in a very subtle way, Gus Van Sant figured out how to make me feel really weird. Even with the images, like, we didn't even talk about how he intercut images of nature with the kills.
I found that so bizarre.
I agree. I'm not saying that I understand why he did it, but it made me feel like, why? And it kind of made it even creepy. Even when William H. Macy died.
Right.
They images showed, of like a woman, like a cow woman, like in bondage. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are these images there? Is this Norman's thoughts?
Yeah.
And it kind of made me feel weird. I'm sure people thought, well, this is stupid. But you do see shots of nature in the beginning of the movie, too. He even sets that up. Again, I'm not saying I know what it means.
Like in the end, too, when she, Julianne Moore, finds the decayed body, there's a bunch of birds. That creeped me out. Mm. Like, oh, seeing the taxidermy that he's going to do, seeing all these live birds.
Aviary instead of a fruit cellar.
Right.
That creeped me out.
I agree. And I forgot about that. All the birds around.
All the birds in there? That was a creepier image. I was like, ooh, that kind of creeped me out.
Even the classic shot from Jaws that Hitchcock, which Spielberg took from Jaws, that whole like panning in and you feel the background is coming forward and backwards.
Yeah.
Gus Van Sant added that. Again, this is when I realized, oh, this movie isn't for us.
Right.
It's for Hitchcock, absolutely. And I really think, I forgot to mention that in the beginning of this remake, kind of like the original, there's always, a cameo of Hitchcock.
Oh, they did that, yeah.
But in the remake, it's still Hitchcock, but scolding Gus Van Sant.
Oh.
Like, you can see him pointing his finger, like, kind of probably saying, I'm disappointed. So Van Sant.
Or saying, like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Why are you doing this?
Like, he knows that it shouldn't be made, but yet he did it anyway. I don't know. For me, I'm sorry.
I could say what a lot of people would say, like,
why are you doing this?
No. It's still not good enough for me, or you didn't do it right, just like most people say. You cannot top this, is probably what Hitchcock was scolding in that moment. And Gus Van Sant probably even knew that. It will never be as good as yours. I'm going to try my best, though.
No, I agree. But Hitchcock did remake his own movie. Mm-hmm. Like A Man Who Knew Too Much.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that beginning part you're talking about, the remake where you see Alfred Hitchcock scolding him. I'm saying Gus Van Sant was probably thinking he might say today, if he were alive today, you can never do this as good as my original. And Gus Van Sant knew that, but said to himself, I'm still going to try anyway, even though I know I can't do it better. And I think that's why the head I had on my shoulders going into this movie, like, you know, you're dealing with a masterpiece you're recreating here, and you know you can't top it. So you're just going to bring whatever you can to it. Like, he knows he can't make this better.
No, I agree.
He knows that. And I think it showed in this movie.
And I don't think he was trying to either.
Exactly.
And I think there has something to be said. I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it deserves the bad rap
reiterating that.
Okay. And that's what I'm trying to say as well, if it wasn't clear.
Yes.
Compared to Brian, kind of, to me, it sounds like he fucking hated this movie.
No, it doesn't. I think what I'm hearing from Brian is that he likes the original a little bit more.
That's obvious. My question is, what about this remake? Does he like it or not? Does it deserve to be made? And he still hasn't answered it.
Okay, Brian.
I thought I did already. It's horse shit. I don't.
An impossible.
God damn it.
Impossible. No.
It's fucking shit. No. No, again, I respect it looking at it as a director from Gus Van Sant saying it's an experiment. It's a failed experiment, but at the same
point. In what way? I'm sorry. When you mean failed, meaning box office, you meaning artistically, what do you mean by failed?
Well, I guess I should say the definition of failure, Webster's Dictionary states... fail as no, I think what it is, and that's the thing. I don't think I could say that because I don't think that was his intention. I think he was just doing it because he could do it. And at that point, he probably will tell you, yeah, whatever, we did our best.
So in his eyes, do you think he failed? That's what I want to know. Box office, it's a failure. I'm sure it was,
It was. But and whatever. Critically. I'm not talking about that either. I'm just talking about it as a viewer. I could have watched the original. So why? In that sense, it makes me go.
I agree.
In that sense, I would rather watch the original, and that's where it failed. Whereas something like last week with The Blob, it took what was fun about it and expanded on it. Where it was just like, oh, I had a good time watching. It wasn't that I'm not saying I didn't have a good time watching this. But it's more.
Going back to
what Brian said in the beginning, if you're gonna do a remake, you're gonna expand on it and make it better. And this is one of the few remakes where it doesn't change enough.
I would argue that it does. I can
understand why some people would say I'd rather watch the original because they are so similar.
I agree, and I'm just saying that I think it did expand quite, whether or not it did it well, you know, for the viewer is something else. Yeah. But I'm saying that it did expand just like a lot of remakes that happen. And when people always say like, oh, they should have just stuck to the original, people are still going to go watch it. But I really think that this movie was made because Hitchcock was limited to based on the era that he was in. Gus Van Sant, like, you know what? Maybe I want to make the movie that he wanted to do, whether or not it was successful or box office wise. Yeah, sure it wasn't good, but.
You know what I think? I think you read somewhere that Quentin Tarantino preferred this movie and you prefer it too now.
No, I'm sure.
That's bullshit! And you know
I'm sure, no, I'm just kidding. I think he did talk about part two. I don't know if he liked.
He actually liked it. He said he prefers the remake because it's more real.
I mean.
And that's what Tarantino said. And I remember reading that and I was going to give you shit no matter what you would say.
I think for me is like, we're talking about horror movies. We're talking, you know, we're in Halloween. Which movie would creep you out more? The original or the remake?
Original puts me in that spot. It puts me in that mood. It puts me in that.
I agree. I think the original is better. And I think fun watch.
Yeah. But it just said.
But if I want to follow it up with a remake and creep me out, like, okay, what is the better watch or a fun watch, Halloween or Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Halloween.
Of course. And I would say that's a fun one. That would be the one that I would put for the whole family. But if I want to be creeped out.
For the whole family.
Since we're talking Halloween and horror movies, I really think the remake is kind of unsettling. Creepy vibes compared to the original.
Understood.
Okay.
is our most heated week we've had.
I don't know. I'm fine.
It's not that heated.
It's all one-sided, Edwin.
It's not one-sided. I just...
No, I know. I'm kidding. I'm teasing. I just mean passionate. Yeah.
It's not heated.
No, it's not heated. But no, it's more interesting. And this is one of those things.
That's the word. It is
because again, it was made to be interesting. It was made to, again, I think that, like you said, I mean, this is exactly what you would get from an experimental movie. And the thing is that Universal at the time, especially too, marketed it like this is from a visionary filmmaker seen through new eyes. And it was just like, this is the same thing. You know, yeah. So I think that's what I think.
That responsibility of the filmmaker, or
no? That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Is the studio marketed it this way in a different way and such? So it's not his fault at that point. I mean, that's the inside baseball of Hollywood. Is that a lot of marketing? The directors don't see any of that. They don't approve any of that. A third party company is hired to, hey, right, here's footage, make this look good. And then, that's what they do. And that's why you see a lot of trailers are exactly the same trailer to everything, if you see that. Start with a question. Have the Hans Zimmer blah.
Oh, and again, I really quick, also the ending, forgot, maybe we said it, Danny Elfman redoing the Bernard Herrmann score.
Yes.
And then the very end, he does this acoustic, like, slow, eerie
during the credits.
Credits of the Psycho theme, which made it even creepier, even for me. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, okay.
It would have been even more creepier if they got a child choir to do it. Yeah. Like you see in every fucking trailer now.
But not this one.
I know. I know. And it's not, I'm not yelling at the thing. It's just... Knock it off. I don't want to hear a bunch of children sing a fucking Guns N' Roses song.
Anyway. Yeah, it's popular, yeah. Of course, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
You can blame social networks for that.
Yeah, thanks, Fincher. By the way, did you see the trailer for Mank?
I did.
Yeah, that looks gorgeous.
I can't wait. That looks so really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, oh, shit, that's where he's been. Yeah, no, so I think, with this, I mean, that was at the very end, that is a good, and that does set that mood for you, definitely, because it is a good thing where, what am I saying with this? It is a good thing to listen to. It takes that theme, which is very rushed and very da 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 da, and it does. It makes you, and that is a scene where he makes you sit there just like Hitchcock did with the original, like watching him clean up and everything. He's making you sit there and watch, because if you're sitting there, you're like, oh, does something else happen? No, nothing else happens. It's just another day where they found another murder. They don't even open up the trunk. They just take the car. I don't even know if the guy taking the car knows that there's a dead body in the trunk. That's going to be an awkward surprise.
It's like, oh, God. Just like, some pound, like guy in the pound.
Like, yeah, some guy's just like, hey, we're gonna scrap this. What the fuck? Who left a bomb in here? I mean, that's what I found. And that's also me, because I realized, like, no, there was no cops, like, looking in the trunk and making a scene or anything. It was just, it drove away, and I immediately thought, like, well, that's going to be an interesting find. that's how my brain works. Again, he makes you sit there and think, like, well, what's up with this? Why is that? Because it is a swamp, and then a shot in the background, you see the highway that has killed this hotel, that has killed all these other little small, towns and everything, where the Route 66 was now dead because of the highway and everything. If you don't know the history of that, watch Roger Rabbit. And Chinatown, I guess.
And Cars.
Cars does a lot of Cars.
And Cars.
This movie is a darker version of Cars.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
What is it? What's the sequel to Chinatown?
The two Jakes.
Lakes. Oh, yeah. Directed by Jack Nicholson.
Sorry. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's up?
I have a question going back to comparing the two movies. In the remake, in the end, the psychologist, I don't recall hearing him say that he admitted to killing two more. He's like, do you have two missing persons on your hand?
He doesn't say that in the remake.
He doesn't say it in the remake, right?
No.
Because I remember in the first one, counting how many people total he killed when you realize he killed the mother and her lover. The two missing girls, Marion, and then the private detective. I was like, oh, he killed six people. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that again in the remake. I'm like, but wait, did they say that? So no, I couldn't remember if they said that or not.
They
Sorry.
Cut that out? No.
I was just curious about
that. They also cut out, which I'm glad they did, and it was seamless. In the original, you see the boyfriend and the sister at a church with the sheriff. To the bait, which you don't see in the remake, because again, it's not necessary. I'm not saying that.
It doesn't add anything to it. It just adds to the mystery of like, why would they go there? Well, in this one, you know why they go there. It should be obvious because they want to find Marion.
Little things like that really do make the movie. Again, I'm not saying it's better than the original. It just makes it.
Especially Edwin's favorite
about watching
movie.
It back to back. Favorite. Best movie of all.
And Star Wars.
Oh,
God,
here we go.
You're like this. Every movie you see, that's your favorite. No.
I hate you. I'm leaving.
And she's right. No.
You know, it was funny, like, oh, maybe this is going to be the movie that we don't fucking reference Star Wars.
And after
we were watching the remake, I was trying to do the theme of Psycho, you know, dun, 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 dun. And I think Ava thought I was doing the Phantom Menace theme.
You were. Dun, 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 dun. I was like, you're singing the wrong song.
I'm like, wow, we can't go one movie without someone referencing
you know what you're singing. I'm gonna say this now. I've been listening to a podcast called Newcomers, and it's with Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus. Nicole Byer, if you don't know, she hosts a show on Netflix, Nailed It, where it's taking inexperienced cake makers. She watched. So the point of this podcast is her and Lauren Lapkus, who's a comedian, who is, you know, if you see her, you're like, oh, that chick. She was just in that David Spade Wrong Missy movie. It's these two women who have never seen Star Wars. And they're like, you know what? We're going to sit down and watch all the Star Wars movies. And Edwin, I think you would like it, because the entire time they're just like, why did we do this? This movie is so dumb. Why is this liked? And they have people on to try to talk about it with them and stuff. And the first movie they watch is A New Hope. And they just, this movie was boring. What the hell did we get into? Is this going to be like all of them? And it's funny because it does also prove your point that there's a lot of people out there that think they're fans, but they're just, they say they like it because they feel like they have to. And it kind of shows
because everybody else does it.
But they don't realize it. They sit there and they go like, oh, why did you like this movie? I grew up with it and it was great. And they're getting like facts about the movie wrong and stuff. And it just seems like, oh, I think it's that movie where you have to feel like you have to say it, but you don't realize it. But I don't know. I was just listening to that and I was like, oh, this is like Edwin.
Well, yeah,
I think you'll appreciate it.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but thank you for. For telling me this.
Well, I mean, I told you to listen to it, so you're not going to. So,
right.
Yeah.
I probably will not for sure.
Yeah, it's fine. Oh, it's fine. But no.
But thank you.
People out there.
But thank
people
you.
Out there.
I love
like,
you and I appreciate it.
Yes, exactly. I just thought I'd bring it to everyone as a because they're now going through the Lord of the Rings. They got through all the Star Wars, and now they're going through the Lord of the Rings, and they're like, fucking hell, what do we do?
Anyway. I would probably rather watch Lord of the Rings than rewatch Star Wars.
I have been wanting to do a rewatch of Lord of the Rings to see, because I remember not liking that.
That's kind of like another trilogy that I'm not passionate about at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's any close to the Psycho remake, then I'm in good hands.
That is my Star Wars. I will say that Lord of the Rings is my Star Wars, where I'll try to watch it going, this has to be my time. And then just like, I'm not into this. I don't give a shit about Frodo. Like, yeah, Gollum's cool, I guess. That's my
story. What about the other characters? What about Sam? What about the special effects? What about Viggo? Oh, we didn't say that Viggo Mortensen is now...
Two Hitchcock remakes.
Perfect Murder.
Oh, that yeah, was that's
Dial
right.
M for Murder.
Originally and Dial the, M for Murder.
And Psycho.
Fun little fact.
Yeah. Again, he wasn't bad. But he didn't wow me. I think I liked him.
It didn't add to the role. It didn't add. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was. It was a different role because the other one was like, you know, hey, how you doing? Like, this guy who's down on his luck. Here's a guy that's kind of like the shifty cowboy character. Like, what you doing? Like,
oh, you know what we didn't mention? Why does, and I don't remember this happening in the original. William H. Macy getting out of the car through the passenger side.
Everyone's done that. For whatever reason, I think the original reason why they did that was because with Hitchcock, they realized, oh, we're going to have to move everything back with the cameras. It's just easier for them to get outside the passenger. And then I think it's just because of the way it was blocked, I think, originally. And then in the remake, they just, well, it's a shot-for-shot remake. Why not? But yeah, he gets out of the car. He gets out of the car, but
it was just so weird. I'm like, I don't remember it. I guess it wasn't as noticeable.
Well, because
in the original, and this one, I'm like, it just looked kind of something like, why are you going?
Because in the remake, he didn't hit the horn as he was getting out of the car. He hits the horn. He goes, ah.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it was a mistake, and they were just like, let's keep it in. Where in the original, the guy didn't hit the horn or anything. He just got out of the car. But this time, he hit the horn and made it like, ah. And it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, well, just keep going. So that's why it stands out a little bit more.
Oh, very colorful and vibrant, this movie. Like, it's weird that, and Aveline said this, why not shoot in a black and white if you're going to redo it shot for shot? I'm not sure why he did it in color either, but the fact that it's in color, like, he made it very colorful. Like,
it is very vibrant.
Vibrant, yeah.
Like Vince Vaughn, well, that's also the clothing at the time, too. Late 90s, early 2000s clothing was very vibrant and colorful. And you could tell, like, the one, I don't know about your copy, I rented it off Amazon. And the one suit he was wearing was just all over the place, just kept bouncing all around color-wise or something.
It was I got the baby blue from Shout Factory. For me, it was the car salesman guy. His shirt with a gray with some crazy light metallic blue like swiggles all over the shirt.
Yeah, I think that was weird. Maybe that's the one I was talking about.
Like very 60s and 70s.
I liked that all the things that Mirian wore in the remake looked vintage.
Vintage,
so.
Yeah.
Even though he put on the screen in the beginning 1998.
Yeah,
he still had this vintage look too, which I liked.
Yeah, I didn't mention this before, but you guys realize. Did you guys notice that during the shower scene in the original, you know, the theme comes in very loud and vibrant. In the remake, it took a little bit and it wasn't as loud.
I did not notice.
Compared to it. Like I was waiting for like, oh, here it is. It's going to get loud. And it didn't get loud. And it was very more subtle compared to the original. And then I got distracted by the images of Nate, you know, the sky and the bird and everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of just lost track of the theme.
The song, right. Yeah.
Because, again, it's funny how during the time, that's what people noticed. That's what scared them. And this remake, he used images to kind of creep you out. I'm sorry. I think it's borderline genius.
We get it, Edwin. You love the movie.
No. You know what? Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, because, yeah, I mean, again, it seems like that kind of make him do, like, you expect that. You expect it, and for those scenes to happen, you have to add something. You have to add some more pop to it and stuff, and that's why you see more blood, I think, and also a shot of Anna Heche's ass, too, and stuff, because it makes more sense. But, because it's like, yeah, of course she's new. Like, of course you'd see her butt. She got murdered. It's crazy you didn't see anything. But yeah, so I don't know. Like overall, I think We all know Edwin's opinion on it. But overall, I think, again, like...
what was your opinion on it?
I told you already!
In one word. So what? You didn't like it, right?
Experimental.
Which means what to you? That means what? Is that a negative or a positive to you when you say experimental?
Well, thank you for listening to the show, everybody. I hope you join us again for...
Would you recommend this to your mother?
No.
No?
Why would I recommend it to my mother?
Would like, you hey, recommend mom, the original you know what, if I, or the if remake said, to your mom?
I would say the original. I would say watch the original.
And stay away from the remake?
Not stay away. Watch it if you're if you like this. This is an interesting follow-up. Because it does.
You would not tell her that. Don't lie.
I'm not going to talk to my mom in the first place. You're the one that's asking the question. Why would
just
I talk
say
to my
you
mom?
Hate it.
Why
just
would I
say
start
you hate
now?
It?
No.
I'm just not own it.
Because guess
if you're
what?
Telling me, if
bottom
you're telling
line,
me that
I
love
I
it,
care.
Then you say you hate it.
No, I say
just
I don't
say
care.
You hate it.
I don't care about it. I don't care about it.
Hey.
His fist, he's up, he has fists right now, doesn't he?
No,
he's doing the Arthur meme.
His tongue was out.
Yeah!
You stuck your tongue out.
Got it. All
right.
You gave me a raspberry? Fuck you, sir. No. no, ultimately, I didn't hate it. I didn't care for it. I didn't not hate it. It's just, it's whatever. It's just, it's an interesting, it's an interesting thing to happen where it's like, okay, it, like I said, experiment. It's interesting to see if they could do it. And again, it
would
just doesn't add to
would it be experimental the way Rogue One
would
is
you?
Experimental? Or
okay, seriously, now
Rogue
you're just
One
going on and on.
Or
yeah.
Like, are you done?
How is Rogue
really?
One experimental? No, no,
I'm
let
just
him
asking.
Finish. Let him finish. No,
no, I want to know what other movie would be experimental that you would put this movie.
He said
in.
It himself. Fucking the director said it himself. It was an experiment.
No, no, I'm curious, what would be another movie that you would consider experimental?
Elephant.
Like this one. Okay. Okay. No
PA
other movie.
1138.
Like another, like, remake?
Jim Henson's Academy Award winning short, something, I forgot the name of it. But yeah, that was experimental. Remakes, I don't know, like, again, because, again, remakes try to make it their own. Try to make it, whereas this one was like, again, stuck so close to it. We're far off the topic, sir. I don't know. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say?
That I was just it? Another
I
movie.
I hate it.
Another movie.
I hate this movie. You know what's an experiment? Dick Tracy.
But you love that movie.
I know. It's great. Just because an experiment doesn't mean I have to hate it. This movie has nothing. It does nothing. It doesn't do anything.
I was just curious. Sorry. We can stop.
Can we? No, I'm just kidding. Overall, I think this was a good one because I think this is actually a movie for this type of conversation. Should it be remade? Should it be not? And everything. And obviously, we don't know. Next week, we're going to take a little detour. And since this will drop Halloween time, the day before Halloween, if all things considered, we thought it'd be fun to talk about our favorite specials or things that remind us of Halloween or just maybe memories and everything of the Halloween time, since especially this year it's going to be so fucking weird. Hopefully you're not listening to this at a listening party, because that means we only hear one thing. I mean, you all have to individually listen to this to get our ratings up, please. Okay. Don't have listen parties for this. Individually listen to it yourself. Okay. We're dying. We just sold it to Quibi, for Christ's sake. Sorry.
Listen in your mom's basement.
Thank you.
Actually, Brian, what,
yeah.
Have you mentioned what you're going to be watching?
All Hallows Eve?
Maybe. Yeah. What are you going to be talking about next episode?
I don't know. I think I may. You know what? There's been a couple things. I know we kind of did this last year where I talked about Trick or Treat and Ichabod and everything. I think I might do a little thing of the Garfield Halloween special, which a lot of people are Garfield. Here's the trick. The comic strip is utter dog shit, but the specials are pretty damn good. Especially this one, because this is a really, because it involves ghosts and pirates and such, and it's actually pretty decent. What about you guys? Do you have any idea what you're going to be talking about?
I mean, I didn't want to do the typical specials that everyone naturally watches. Like, I always have to watch Charlie Brown, It's the Great Pumpkin, but you know, I was like, I don't really want to talk about that. Everybody kind of already knows about that. So another thing I was thinking of that I enjoy watching around on Halloween, because it has three elements to it that are very Halloween to me, which is witches, zombies, and ghosts. And that would be Paranorman.
Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah. So that's thinking about that one.
Edwin, what about you? What are you picking? And it doesn't have to be a movie special. It could be anything, video game. I might bring up a couple video games, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I always go to, like, The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror is always something I always watch, all of them. And there's a lot of them that I haven't... A lot of the newer ones I don't watch, so I try to catch up on those. But those are the ones I usually watch. You know, besides Halloween... Trick or Treat, like you mentioned, is something that I think I've been watching every year now. Yeah. Halloween 3, which I think I mentioned before, maybe Fright Night. And I try to do a classic Universal horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just actually watched Dracula. I actually watched Dracula, the 1931 version, for the very first time yesterday. We're going to try to do the Wolfman, maybe do Frankenstein, just so I can watch them all.
Yeah.
So I'll try to do those.
What is your one pick? You have to pick just like one that...
I think for me, the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, when it comes to TV specials, I watch.
Yeah.
And Trick or Treat and Halloween 3.
Yeah. Halloween 3, that's a good one. Yeah, because I feel like the ones you've been talking about more this year is Halloween 3 and Fright Night.
And I love, which is something. Oh, I'm actually just bought Fright Night 2, which is very hard to find. So I'm really excited to watch. Yeah, so I'm excited to watch that. So I'll probably, be talking about that. Maybe I'll talk about Fright Night 2 and then maybe Trick or Treat and Halloween 3.
And will I give an definite version of how I feel about the remake to Psycho? Only time will tell, folks.
Only time will tell.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel, what do you think? Cool. Anyway, so thank you for listening. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure again to go to Instagram at Rewind Replay Record so you can follow along with us, let it know when episodes drop and everything, and also talk to us. Also want to give a special shout out to our original fan, Aaron, who probably has flashbacks during this episode especially. listening to me and Edwin talk it's such he probably has flashbacks of that, so shout out to him. Other than that, I hope you guys have a spooky Halloween. Edwin, do you have something for me to say to take us out on?
Just say you hate the movie. Just say it.
I love the movie, folks. Guess what? Be bad and watch shit like the remake of Psycho.
What a surprise. Give you something, make a nigga close both of your eyes. All my niggas getting money capitalized. Die, little small guy, we on the rise. Everything a nigga touch, platinumized. Full of your quips, you know we coming all on supplies. Got a big gun and I'ma show you the size. You fuck with any of my flip mode family ties. Me and my niggas be coming through, stroking you out. Killing off any and everything you talking about. See you in the club, now we walking you out. Should've thought twice before you went and opened your mouth. Yo, anyway, we stay keeping it moving. Fucking with the wrong nigga, hope you know what you're doing. Now blame me, all the same niggas is lame. It's not a game, nigga name still put in your brain. Now niggas, that enough? Give me some more. Y'all niggas want the wild shit? Give me some more. Yo, Spliff, where the weed at? Give me some more. I know y'all niggas need that. Give me some more. Even though we getting money, you could give me some more. With the cars and the big crib, give me some more.